which is often not the most expensive.
A9 is great.
Patriots, it is 1:04 on the East Coast. Welcome to the Matrix Groove Hour. Today we have a very, very special guest, and I'm so excited to bring him on. But first, let me introduce to you my partner in justice, Mr. Shady Groove. Hey, Shady, how you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Matrix. I hope you're doing well. I hope all the Anons are doing well, and I'm so excited to have a very, very, very special guest with us today.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is about unifying the movement, showing that we're united, not divided. I think everybody knows that. And with that, I just really, you know, let's bring Praying Medic on right now. Praying Medic, he's already been saying hi in the chat. Welcome, Praying Medic, to the show. I'm so honored for you to be here. Thank you.
Hey, Matrix and Shady, I am honored to be on the show. I love what you guys are doing with the show. I love how you are bringing the movement together, helping people understand what's going on. And yes, it is great to be on the show, finally.
I know. So I've been like, you were like one of my awakeners as well. It was that bee person I followed first. Then I found you and Sather.
What?
Yeah. Do you remember that bee person?
Oh, I remember bee. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And then bee disappeared. But I first heard Sather on InfoWars, and then went over there. I found you before Sather. So I really appreciate what you've done for me to kind of, you know, understand it. And your writings and your threads are stellar. I'm a huge fan of yours, so I might be a little giddy today.
Okay. Well, I did not know that.
Yeah.
Well, it's been, you know, for me, it was the same. There were so few voices, especially early on, that were really taking this seriously and bringing it into the conversation so people on Twitter can see. Obviously, you can't send everybody to the chance to understand this stuff. And the information was coming out so fast. So I really think you did a wonderful job keeping it in order and keeping it together and giving people the straight, the straight answers. And the opening intro video to Q that you did was spectacular, and just a really good overall stewardship of Q and everything to do with this wonderful movement and these wonderful Anons. So it really is our pleasure to have you here today, sir.
So thanks, Shady. I appreciate that. And I wanted to say something to you guys. I don't go on a lot of YouTube and Periscope shows because I really want to be careful about the message that I put out. There's a fine line, and I really want to walk that fine line, right? And I've been watching what you guys are doing with your broadcasts, And Denise and I have been listening to your broadcast. And one of the things we really love is how you are inclusive of people, normies out there who maybe don't visit the Chans and don't really know all that what's going on. You guys do a really good job of taking the information that's on the board and, you know, connecting it, helping people connect with it, you know, pulling the research together that the Anons are doing, pulling research together that people like me and Lisa May and other people are doing. And we really respect the work that you guys are doing to present the information. You know, as my friend James says, I think you guys are honest brokers. And I think you're doing a really good job. And that's why I decided to come on the show, is I want to support what you guys are doing.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that. That's flattering. I really appreciate it. And tell Denise, thank you for me as well. What got you? So, you know, let's just hear Praying Medic. What's Praying Medic's story?
How did I get involved in Q?
Yeah, I love that. Yes.
It's kind of an interesting story. Like, you know, we were talking before the show started. I had been on Periscope doing broadcasts before the election, kind of in the lead up to the election. There was a lot of people on Periscope that were doing broadcasts, you know, Lee Stranahan and Cernovich and Ali and a lot of other people. And I was doing a lot of research on the elections, and on, I was also looking into accusations of FISA abuse, what was going on in the FBI and the DOJ and all of that. And I was following Conservative Treehouse and a lot of other, you know, conservative commentators. And since I was doing so much research on news and all of that, I decided to start doing, I had been doing some Periscope broadcasts on the supernatural, on healing, on dreams, on you know, prophetic revelation, on a lot of different things. That's what I write my books about. But I started kind of just switching into political news and commentary. And then I was doing that into October, November, December of 2017, after the president got inaugurated. And then Q showed up and starts posting on the board. I didn't know anything about Q. I didn't know. I knew a little bit about 4chan because I had dug into FBI Anon's posts back in 2016. That in July of 2016, this Anon appeared on 4chan, was posting all about the Clinton Foundation, and was specifically having Anons dig into the Clinton Foundation. Well, at that time, God had given me some dreams about the Clinton Foundation, and I started doing some research, and I really dug pretty deeply into the Clinton Foundation at that point. So, but I put that on the back burner because I didn't know what to do with the information. I just archived a lot of it. And then Q comes along, and I'm like, this is just kind of weird. I didn't really know what to make of it. My wife, Denise, started following Tracy Beans, her daily Q decodes. And so I was working on a book, and I was doing my own research, and I wasn't really interested in Q. Didn't appeal to me. But, you know, Denise is listening to Tracy Beans, and there's another, you know, Q video, and I'm kind of just like, it's in the background. I'm kind of not really paying attention to it. But I was aware of it. And this is in, like I said, late November going into December. And then I had a dream in December where I met this guy in this dream, and he told me, and he looked just like Mr. Miyagi. He told me that my understanding of history was wrong. Hmm. He said, everything that you've believed about historical events, it's all wrong. And he began to correct my misunderstandings of historical events. And then we got up and we walked out of that room, and we went into another larger room. And he began asking me these questions. Do you remember this person? Do you remember that person? Do you remember this event? How are they connected? And he asked me another question. Do you remember this event? Do you remember these dates? Do you remember these people? How are they connected? And I was like, crap, this guy sounds like Q. He's just asking me all these questions. How is this related? Why is this relevant, right? Then we're talking, and he turns to me and he says, do you understand this is primarily about the children?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And I knew what he was talking about because I had already looked into the Clinton Foundation, right? So this is mid-December, and I thought, okay, I need to take this seriously. So I began doing research into Q, started looking on the boards, started trying to understand what this is all about, reading through the posts, looking. I went through all of Tracy Beans' videos and some of Jerome Corsi's videos. I didn't really like Corsi all that much. And you get a 2-hour broadcast and he covers like 2 posts. There's not a whole lot of information there. And so I just thought, well, you know, I've already been doing research into FISA abuse and Spygate and all that. I just started doing my own research. I started looking at Q's posts, trying to put everything together, I started doing some Q updates on Periscope at that point. That was mid-December. And then posting some of them on YouTube. And that was kind of how I got started. I kind of got connected to some other people who were interested in Q, and just been kind of just learning and researching and doing all that I can to try to help get the word out. Denise is like, honey, you need to get the word out. People need to know about this. And I'm like, yeah. Okay. I'll get on it. So really it was really at her urging that I kind of got into this.
Interesting. That's it. So with your research in Q and what is actually happening in the world, right? What POTUS is doing and what's happening with the swamp cleanup, if you will, what is, you know, cause you're still on Q. So is there something for you? Like what was the, like, oh my gosh, Q, you know, is there anything particular that you can point to? Like which Q proof, would be your favorite? Cause there's many.
I have so many favorite Q posts, but Denise and I were talking last night and I said, you know, there is one Q post that to me, if you are an objective person, you just need to look at this post and really think about what it means. And that's this one. Back on, I think it was November 14th of 2017. So this was... Q was a couple of weeks into his mission because Q started posting late October. And then I think around November 14th, Q had this long post. And in the middle of that post, near the end of it actually, Q said, why would sealed indictments be outside of DC? What is the nickname for DC? What percentage of people voted for Hillary in DC in the last election? All right. So I have gone back to that post so many times because Q was telling us a U.S. attorney was suggesting. A U.S. attorney had been appointed by the Justice Department who was investigating corruption, and they were preparing sealed indictments, and it was all being done outside of D.C. because D.C. is the swamp, and you couldn't impanel fair and objective grand juries in D.C. because most of the people in the DC area voted for Hillary. Okay, that's what that post was telling us. That was in November 14th of 2017. It wasn't until March of 2018 that Jeff Sessions told the world, oh, by the way, I appointed this U.S. attorney way out in a red state of Utah who is looking into the Clinton Foundation, Uranium One, and corruption in the FBI and DOJ. All right.
Yeah.
Nobody knew about that. Everyone in Congress was screaming for a second special counsel. They were screaming for prosecution. They wanted an investigator to go and dig into FBI corruption and all that, right?
Yeah, and they were mimicking on TV too.
Oh, yeah. And Sessions in March finally lets us know, oh, we've got somebody who's investigating all that. I appointed them back in November. All right. And Q told us in November exactly what Sessions told us in March. But here's the thing. Think about the timing of this, because we now know that Matt Whitaker sent a letter to Huber on November 22nd. Q posted that in a drop a couple weeks ago. And it was a screenshot of the header of the email between Whitaker and Huber, and it came out in a FOIA request that the DOJ just made public, I think it was the first week of March, right? So about a month ago, this FOIA request, I think it was might have been March 7th, this FOIA request from this oversight organization, they'd requested a copy of the letter that Whitaker sent to Huber, and they never got it. Finally, Whitaker leaves the DOJ, and then the DOJ sends them the document they wanted, which was a letter from Whitaker confirming on November 22nd that Huber was investigating Clinton Foundation, Uranium One, mm-hmm. and other matters they had discussed earlier. So, right, this is November 22nd. And so the crazy thing in my mind is we know that Huber and Whitaker communicated on November 22nd of 2017 about that investigation, which Whitaker said they had previously discussed. Now, it looks to me like Huber was appointed around November 14th, which is the same day Q made that drop about a U.S. attorney. Why would sealed indictments be done outside of D.C.? I think Q posted on the board about the appointment of Huber the same day Sessions appointed him.
I agree with you on that.
Now, how could you look at that November 14th drop where it looks like Q is telling us exactly what Sessions did, which Sessions didn't publicly announce until March, four or five months later?
Yep.
You can't look at that objectively and say there's any way that anyone would have known that.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
Because Huber's Huber's investigation is winding down. I suspect Huber's investigation is done, actually. And that's why Q has been putting the spotlight on Huber. Huber's office had that article that the Salt Lake newspaper wrote, giving people an inside look into Huber's office, the kind of cases that they're prosecuting, the number of cases they're prosecuting, you know, a little bit of an interview with one of the new U.S. attorneys, right? So nothing has come out from Huber's investigation or his team at all this entire time since November of 2017. And now all of a sudden in the last month, Huber's team is being put in the spotlight. Huber is tweeting on Twitter about his meeting with Barr and how he's going to help them stand for equal justice under the law and holding criminals accountable. I don't think Huber would be saying anything publicly or allowing a newspaper to come into his organization and interview his attorneys unless his investigation was done. So I think Huber's investigation is wrapped up, and we're just waiting for the MOAB.
Absolutely. Fire at will, Commander. Right?
Yes. Copy that.
Well, it's a very good point that you make there, and there's been so many different things to go, you know, back and forth. All the stuff that was coming out about North Korea around the same time was very interesting. But yeah, that is a good jump off point with people to say, look, you know, this is when the investigation started. There's the whole layer of trolls out there that are making fun of Q people about the trust Sessions thing. But you know, that guy was one of the only rock solid people that ever served in the Senate.
Yep, and look, Sessions did. You know, people ask me this, like. Somebody this morning on my website left a comment saying that they hope that Q is right and they hope that Trump is really draining the swamp. But I kind of, something in me thinks that Trump is working with the deep state.
Control, like, okay. Control, okay. Concern.
hang on a second. Hang on a second. How could you objectively look at what has happened inside the FBI and DOJ over the last 2 years and think that Trump is working with the deep state? First of all, you have to define the deep state. What is the deep state? Well, the heart of the deep state is career employees in the intelligence communities, FBI, DOJ, CIA, that nature, those people, some people in the Defense Department, career people who they influence the decisions of elected leaders, but they're career people and they work for corrupt people. All right. Under Sessions, Comey, McCabe, Priestat, should I keep it? Peter Strzok, Lisa Page. Let's see.
He removed every asset.
All of these people have been removed.
Right.
Bruce Orr. All these corrupt people in FBI and DOJ. Dave Loffman. James Baker. They've all been removed from power. That is the heart of the deep state. And Sessions is the one who's been removing those people. Right? So Sessions has been the one who began the war on drugs. Drugs coming across the border from Mexico mostly. Began the war on MS-13, cracking down on organized crime, cracking down on how many arrests of pedophiles and sex crimes has the DOJ made in the last 2 years since Trump was elected? Record number of arrests.
Record.
It's unfortunate that there are people out there, political commentators, who don't understand what Sessions has actually done. But Sessions has been laying the groundwork for what Barr is going to finish, right? And, you know, when you just look at what Sessions did to weed out all the corrupt people in the FBI and DOJ, and it's continuing, it's ongoing, I don't really understand how people could think Trump is working for the deep state, or how Sessions was ineffective. I mean, you know, there's this thing where Q kept saying, trust Sessions. Well, I take that in the broader context. What Q is telling us is that Sessions is not a part of the swamp. Sessions is doing necessary work in the DOJ and FBI that has to happen before the swamp can be prosecuted. If you have a bunch of corrupt attorneys in the Department of Justice and a bunch of corrupt cops in the FBI, you can go and arrest Hillary and Obama, his entire cabinet, all the people in the Clinton Foundation. You can arrest all those people. You can try them. You can put them in, you can put their evidence in front of grand juries. You can send them to court, and you're not going to convict any of those people. They're all going to walk.
Yep.
Because corrupt cops will botch the investigation. Corrupt attorneys will engage in prosecutorial misconduct, and none of those people are going to be end up in jail. So, you know, before any arrests could be made, the DOJ, FBI, and the courts have to be cleaned out. That is what Sessions is doing, and that is what Trump is doing with all these judicial nominees. Two more nominations, by the way, for Ninth Circuit Court are going through to the Senate right today, I believe. They're going to be doing final votes on them.
Yeah, I think that is today.
Yeah. So as much as people have been kind of, you know, well, we thought Sessions was going to drop the hammer. Well, Sessions was the guy who had to organize everything, get it all moving, and get the prepare the field, set the stage for Bart. And Sessions could never be the guy to drop the hammer on the deep state. Sessions was a member of Trump's transition team, right? There's no way anyone would ever take any prosecution seriously as long as Sessions was attorney general. If you didn't understand that, then you really didn't understand what was happening. Sessions could never be the guy to do that. It had to be someone else, someone who was completely disconnected from Trump's campaign and his affiliations. So now that Barr is in and most of the corruption has been weeded out of the FBI and DOJ, I think we're going to start seeing pretty quickly. We're going to see FISA D-class. Trump has been tweeting lately. He's taunting people and he is warning them that D-class is coming.
He is.
So I think we're going to see FISA D-class pretty soon. I think we will see, and Devin Nunes has been kind of teasing about that. He knows it's coming. So FISA D-class is coming soon. We'll get Bruce Orr's 302s. We will get the last 20 pages that were redacted, Carter Page's FISA application. We're going to get emails and texts from Comey, McCabe, Strzok, Page, and Bruce Orr. All that information, that'll come out. And that is going to put a big spotlight on a lot of corrupt people in the FBI and DOJ. And then we get the Inspector General report. And the Inspector General report is going to have a lot of interesting information. If you go to Patriots fight and you look at the placeholders pretty much tell you what is going to be in the Inspector General's report, the different areas that are going to be looked at, collusion between the media and the intelligence community, leaking inside the White House, leaks going out to the press, all of that. Those placeholders, one that has the OIG placeholder, it's broken down into like six or seven different subjects. That is coming very soon. After the D-class, I think we're going to get the OIG report, and the OIG report will yeah, there you go.
Yep.
OIG report and findings. FBI, DOJ, media collusion. Let's see, what else is in there? Executive branch, collusion with the media and intelligence community. Foreign assist, how foreign governments helped with the spying, FISA abuse. And then we've got, I'm just trying to read it off the screen there.
FISA abuse.
Off the record,
yep.
C, OTRC, off the record communications. I think, so there's going to be a lot of juicy stuff coming out pretty soon.
Umbrella spy, dude, and targeting. Yeah.
Guys, I'm telling you right now, it is going to, when Q has kind of said it, explained it this way. We, all of us who are researching Q and presenting this information to the public, we have a massive job ahead of us, and it is going to be very, very complex, because Q said the exposure and the making the public aware of FISAgate, the illegal spying by the Obama administration, is a precursor to exposing the Clinton Foundation. People could not possibly understand what is happening with the Clinton Foundation, what has happened. Normies would never understand it. They wouldn't grasp it. They would be totally blown out of the water. So what Q's operation is to help roll out the illegal spying on Trump campaign under Obama administration, how the White House was involved, how the State Department was involved, how the FBI and DOJ were involved in, and how they involved foreign governments to do this illegal spying. If we as Q decoders and YouTubers and people on Twitter and Anons who are on the chans doing the digs, if we do a good job of explaining that process to the world, then the Clinton Foundation corruption can come out, and we're gonna then explain that to them. They'll already understand, oh yeah, we know that a lot of corruption in government, corrupt politicians, corrupt cops, corrupt investigators. We get that. So now when the Clinton Foundation comes up, again, the stage will be set for a much more complex thing. If you guys looked into the Clinton Foundation, it is a spider web of connections of corporations, governments. It's insane.
Yeah. I almost think that the Clinton Foundation is how they're trying to grab some of the, you know, the old guard money, or protect the old guard money into their own foundations.
Have.
Yeah, or already have, right?
Yep. Yeah. There's so much to unpack in the Clinton Foundation. So what we need to do is, this is going to be like practice for us. Exposing FISAgate is going to be an opportunity for us to sharpen our skills, our digging skills, sharpen our skills in putting the information together in a way that people understand it. Because when Uranium One comes out, and the Clinton Foundation comes out, and the Huber is the one that's taking care of the investigations on that stuff. Once that stuff rolls out, it's going to be a very complex operation. As you can see on Patriots Fight, Q has it all broken down into sections. The placeholders are each looking at different sections of things we have to explain to the public and make sense of it. And we either succeed or we fail. And so I just want to let people who are watching this broadcast know it is a long battle. There's a lot of information that's going to be coming out. We're only probably halfway through Q's mission, I think. I mean, I don't know. Like,
yeah,
I'm getting messages from people. Q hasn't posted in 4 days. What's going on? Is it over? And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's not over. We look at all these placeholders. None of those placeholders have any information on them yet.
That's right.
We have to go through all those placeholders. We're going to go through trials for treason, Supreme Court challenges to those trials. We're going to go through a lot of different things. And we have to be very patient and hang in there and just, patiently explain to the world that this massive global corrupt deep state operation is being dismantled piece by piece. And we have the honor of working with Q and the president to reveal all this information to the public.
So, and that brings us to, you know, Q always says, we are the news now, you are the news now, the Anons and the Patriots, people like yourself, people out here in YouTube, people, you know, on Twitter that we speak to, whether it be under our threads or other people, yourself getting the message out on your successful YouTube channel. I've got it up right there now. If you're not following Praying Medic on YouTube, make sure you do. He's also got one of the best new to Q videos. It's two videos. So make sure you get that out to people that, you know, might want to, you know, understand what's Q. So that was very well done, by the way. So with this new media, like, you've got, you know, so many people, great patriots out there trying to figure it out. Obviously, my tact and Shady, we want to just make sure that we can only report fact. No matter how we think or believe, it's got to be fact, no matter what it is. So that's our, you know, mantra. It's truth. You know, the truth will set you free, right? So what is your thoughts and on this new media that Q keeps saying that you guys are the news now, you know, all of us, we the people, if you will?
Yep. Well, just look at, you know, I was looking at that because Q started posting "you are the news now" a couple months ago, and I was like, all right, what are you telling us? What exactly are you saying? Well, I think Q and the president knew that once the Mueller report came out, the mainstream media was going to have a lot of egg on its face. And as we're seeing, people are, their trust in the mainstream media wasn't all that great before the Mueller report came out. But after 2 years of being gaslit by the mainstream media about Trump's going to be indicted, he's going to be impeached, his family's going to be indicted, it's all coming down, the walls are closing in, it's only a matter of time, right? People have been listening to this for 2 years. And now they were all proven wrong.
Yeah.
So what Q was telling us is, look, there is coming a day when the already crappy credentials and credibility of the media is going to get even worse. And people are going to be looking for someone to tell them what is going on. Now, you can look at political pundits out there. Mm-hmm. Rush Limbaugh, Mark Levin, Dan Bongino, name all the other ones. And they have had some good information. But what they haven't had is they haven't had Q's information. Mm-hmm. They haven't had the drops that we all have all had. They didn't know that Priestep, for example, Bill Priestep, was a cooperating witness in an investigation until 2 days ago when his testimony was made public.
Right.
He told us a year ago, last April, Priestep was a cooperating witness.
And Lisa Page, right? We knew that. Anons,
nobody knew that. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew that until mm-hmm. 2 days ago. All the political pundits who've been writing have been speculating, well, what is Priestep's role? Like, we know that what Page and Strzok were doing. Now we know what Jim Baker is doing because his testimony came out. Now we know, you know, what Bruce Orr's, but his role was. No one knew anything about Bill Priestep. His role was completely in the dark, except to people who are following Q. Q's been telling us for a year that Priestep was involved. He's a cooperating witness, right? And we knew that a year ago, and now they're just finding it out. So what Q has been telling us with "You Are the News Now" is, look, I've been giving you guys insider information for the better part of a year and a half, and all these political pundits and mainstream media people are just now finding out what you guys have known for a long time. For people who are looking for reliable information on all the stuff that's going to come out, FISAgate, the abuse by the White House, the Clinton Foundation, Uranium One, all that stuff, they're going to be looking at us going, how did these guys know this stuff? These guys reported on this stuff a year ago, 6 months ago. We're just catching up now. I really think Q is telling us that because we have been taking this insider information seriously and we've been reporting on it, people are going to be looking around for reliable sources of information. And if you're smart, you look for reliable sources of information, people with a good track record. And I think Q was preparing us for the reality that people are going to be looking to us, the Anons and the Q decoders, a lot more in the future, because he has been giving us legitimate information and we have developed a pretty good track record. Certainly, we've been reporting on things a lot sooner than anyone else is reporting on them.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, there was another Q post where he said, you know, handle it with care.
Right.
And I really take that to heart. Yeah.
And yeah, I have some friends who have a good track record for reporting on things. They saw things coming. They read the tea leaves pretty well, but they've become very arrogant because they were right, because they had a good track record. They keep bragging and boasting about how right they were and how great they are and how much they read the tea leaves and everybody else is wrong and you should believe me and follow me because I'm right. That kind of pride and arrogance, we need to avoid that like the plague.
Absolutely.
As I told you in the Matrix, we all need to stay humble. Mm-hmm. Humility is a great teacher. And I have been through, I've been through so many lessons in humility over the years.
Absolutely.
I don't want to repeat those lessons. So I just think we you know, Q said, handle it with care. I think Q is telling us we need to be humble because we've been on track. We've been on point. But we need to make sure it doesn't go to our heads and we don't become arrogant idiots.
Yeah, and I think that's such good advice. And I actually am humbled to be in this position, like with the Twitter account blowing up. Just amazing. And it is amazing when we actually see a Q proof or, you know, something that Q says happen or, you know, find, you know, dig on some information and go, oh my gosh, Q was right again, right? So sometimes, it, you know, we celebrate a little bit, but you're absolutely right.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be organic. Like, people have to come organically. You can't say, because I was right three times, you need to listen to me, right?
Yes. Yes. I'm, you know, behind the scenes, mm-hmm. you have not been able to wipe the smile off my face for a month.
You're not tired of winning?
He has been dropping these proofs, the watch proofs, right?
Oh, my gosh.
It's so fantastic.
And I'm just laughing and I'm giggling and we, you know, Denise and I are making dinner and she's like, what are you laughing about? Like, you know what I'm laughing about. I'm laughing about that last proof because I am just so tickled and so giddy about the proofs coming out and Q just pointing one after another, after another, after another. These proofs are just proving all to be true. And I can only imagine what our enemies, those we shall not name, are thinking, knowing that all these proofs are coming out and they've been attacking us and criticizing us, you know, which is fine, but it's going to get much worse for them and it's going to get much better for us. So I don't know. I'm just kind of enjoying the fact that Q has just been so right and so many proofs are coming to fruition now. I'm enjoying it privately, but yeah. You know, when I go on the broadcast or I'm on Twitter, I try as much as I can to rein in my giddiness and my happiness. I put on my game face,
right?
And I try to be as objective and non-emotional as I can be. But inside, I'm just like a kid with a candy.
And you know us too. It's been amazing. The Q proofs are just they're fascinating. You know, I mean it is kind of neat when you're following it along and, you know, we're actually following this really, really close. The political scene, you know, everything that's happening out there, all the Anons are digging on stuff and it just really is amazing. And I just am realizing too that, you know, Q says that they're attacking the messenger when all else fails, they attack the messenger. And that's what I think we're seeing now. They want to keep us down.
Yep.
From actually, you know, talking legitimately about Q with intelligent human beings like yourself, you know, and, you know, Shady and myself, you know, just people that can actually, you know, explain it well. And it's really hard to explain. And you know, Q posts the armor of God a lot and then the love is patient, love is kind. And I think that's very important because we have family members that might kind of, you know, go off on us, right? Get triggered. I've witnessed it personally, and I still love him. But when he's ready, I'll be there for him. You know what I mean? I'm patient. Yep. Don't get angry. And I think that's one thing that certain talk show hosts for the alternative media were always yelling and screaming, so we'd yell and scream at people. That's not the way to do it. We've got to be very calm and very the calm before, during, and even after the storm.
Well, I mean, you know, whenever you watch, if you pay attention to, you know, the program or whatever you want to call it that everyone is seeing, you're not witnessing any real functionality like on TV programs or movies. Like, people aren't interactive or coming to solutions or finding common ground. There's even in music now, there's none of that. It's all kind of a distraction. It's all placed there to sort of tear at the seams of, you know, the fabric of our country, of our love of nation, of our love of freedom and support of the Constitution, and all these things are being, you know, systematically attacked. And the, you know, you were pointing out the Q proofs and how this whole movement brought us together. But the bottom line of being a good steward, and all of us being a good steward, is us attempting to reduce this to the least common denominator, right? You know, I mean, within it, there is humor and there is a good time. But for me, like, watching what happened at that rally in Michigan last week and the way Q was making all those posts and tagging all those Twitter accounts and then tagging the people in the rally. And then we saw the guy with the Make Noise for Q sign walking around. And then later to hear Brad Parscale talk about 34% of the people at that rally were registered Democrats. I mean, that is a great awakening on a scale that's unprecedented, that's completely whitewashed in anything close to a news outlet.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's we're starting to see the fruits of Trump's plan. It's starting to bear fruit. Trump, you know, right after or right before he got elected, I'm not sure exactly when, and I had this dream. I think it was right around the time of his inauguration. It was January of 2017, I think. I had this dream where I saw Trump at war with the mainstream media, and it was a vicious war. It was a war to the death. I knew that they would either destroy Trump or he would destroy them. I knew that only one of them was going to be walking away. And we've been watching that play out, how the mainstream media is just nonstop 24/7 attacks on the president. And Trump goes to Twitter to get the message out to normies, goes to 8chan to get the message out to the rest of us. And he's been using Sean Hannity, Sarah Carter, John Solomon. You know, he's got four or five ways, as he said the other day, I have four or five outlets through which I communicate my message to go around the fake news. They're so fake. They're so disgraceful, right? Fake news media is going down, and they know it. We know it. That's a large reason for a lot of the attacks that we've been suffering is, you know, the mainstream media is going down. Go look at on the Daily Beast Twitter timeline sometime. What, you know, they're kind of like a mainstream media outlet. They have such low engagement on their Twitter feed. It's ridiculous. Actually, most of the ABC, NBC, if you go to their Twitter feeds, they are lucky to have 40 or 50 people like or retweet or engage on their social media. You know, Q has told us that mainstream media is dead. What killed mainstream media's influence is social media. Everybody went to social media to get information. And people started looking for information on social media. And it effectively killed the mainstream media. And they're still trying to keep up, but they have very, very low influence. They don't have nearly as much influence as people think they do. And so these the attacks, which Matrix, you were talking about, you know, you can tell someone's motives by looking at the kind of argument they bring against you. And Q has pointed this out. If you can't argue with the message, you attack the messenger. all these ad hominem attacks against you, against me, against Lisa May, against anyone who's decoding Q, are they attacking our interpretation or our presentation of Q's posts? Are they attacking, are they examining, pointing out things that Q has actually posted? No, because they don't even actually read Q's posts. They just go after us personally, right? They attack your belief system. They attack the clothes you wear. They dox you. They attack your your past. You were divorced once. You had whatever. It's all personal attacks. And if they are bringing personal attacks against us, obviously they can't take issue with Q's message. They have to attack the messenger. So that's why, right, Q's message is so solid and so bombproof, you can't attack it. So they have to attack the messengers. So when the mainstream media, you see them attacking two things. They either attack the individuals and their history, their belief system. I saw a mainstream media report suggesting that I was a nut job, faith healer, phony fraudster, right? And I've never called myself a faith healer. I've never called myself a man of God, for that matter. All I do is, look, I have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And with that relationship, he taught me how to get people healed. And I don't do healing of other people as much as I like teaching other people how to do what I'm doing, right? But they will go and attack me and call me a fraud faith healer. Rather than even looking at what Q is posting, they have to attack me personally, right?
Right.
And I don't, this is my public statement. They want to make this about us. They want to make this about me. They want to make this about you in the Matrix and Shady. They want to make it about Lisa May. They want to make this about Joe M or whoever. They want to make it personal, and it's not personal.
Right.
This is about Q and the president, period, full stop, end of discussion. And the reason I do not retaliate or argue or answer my critics is they want to make this about me, and I'm not going to let them make this about me. It isn't about me.
Right.
It's about Q and Trump.
Absolutely.
And
getting more Republicans elected.
you can go on my Twitter timeline, and all you see is me posting about Q and Trump, not about me.
Same.
Not about you, not about anybody else. This whole thing is about Q and Trump. Period. End of discussion. And that is why I do not answer or address the critics, because all I want to do is make it about us. And I'm not going to let them do that. It's not about us. They can attack me personally all they want. I don't care. It doesn't bother me. And I'm not going to respond to those people. I'm going to keep on doing my Q posts and my Q threads and my Q videos. And I'm going to keep retweeting the president and his addresses. And that's all I'm about. I'm about teaching people about God, about the kingdom of God. I'm about getting people to understand what Trump is doing to help make America and the world great again. And I am about teaching people the relevance of Q's mission in the overall plan that Trump has to take down the deep state. Those are the three things I care about. I don't really care much about anything else.
How would you consider the phrase, we've heard it a lot, right? The Great Awakening, that Q uses quite a bit.
The Great Awakening.
Yeah.
It has much more significant meaning than most people realize.
Yes, it does.
It is not just an awakening to the fact that the mainstream media has been gaslighting us for the better part of 50 or 60 years, and the fact that we've been lied to and our understanding of history and events has been distorted. About, oh gosh, this is a year and a half ago, I have a lot of friends who are charismatics and Pentecostals, and I'm kind of would be considered in that group too. And they talk about revival all the time. That's all, charismatics and Pentecostals, revival's coming. Oh, God's going to pour out his spirit. We're going to have a billion soul harvest, at the end times and all that. And that's cool. And they've been talking about that for, 20, 30 years. Haven't seen it happen. So one day I was thinking about that, and the Lord kind of just dropped into my mind this question. He said, you do realize that there are absolutely evil, corrupt people who worship Satan in the top of government, academia, the media, the corporate world, every area of society. At the top, there are evil, corrupt people who worship Satan. What makes you think your country is going to experience revival before those people are removed?
Wow.
And that discussion with the Lord, I was like, oh, so the corruption has to be removed first, and then we have a spiritual revival or great awakening.
Okay.
In the terms of the old 17th, 18th, 19th century evangelists, great awakening was spiritual revival. And I think what we're going to see, and I'm already seeing it, as people wake up to the fact that their political leaders, that Hollywood, mainstream media, in academia, corporate leaders, there's so much corruption in there. As people wake up to the fact that most of society is controlled by corrupt people, they're also going to be turned to God. And I'm already seeing it. I got I get messages from people all the time who they follow my Q videos, and then they find out that I teach on healing, and I teach on the kingdom of God, and I teach on words of knowledge and how the Lord speaks to us, hearing God's voice, and seeing visions, learning to see in the spirit, learning how to see angels and things of that nature. So people start finding those videos after they're looking at the Q videos, and then they're like, wow, I got to tell you, man, I was an atheist, or I was a Catholic when I was a child and I walked away from God. So many people are coming back to God through my YouTube channel because they go there to find Q, and then they find my videos on Supernatural Saturdays. And what I'm seeing happening is as people wake up to the truth of the deep state, the deep state's influence and the corruption in politics and all of that, they're also waking up to the truth that God is real, that God loves them, and that God wants to have a relationship with them. I got a message from a guy last night on Twitter. He said, hey man, I just want to let you know. He goes, for the first time in my life, I started praying. Back on January 1st, I started praying. And I got into the habit of praying every night before I go to bed. And he said, I don't understand what's happening. As I pray, I feel really good, but I find myself crying. Is this normal? And I said, yeah, well, those are happy tears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
tears of joy. So there is a lot of people that are coming to the knowledge of God through the Q movement. And I think when the president and the military are done with this operation and all these corrupt people have been arrested and prosecuted, you're going to see the greatest spiritual revival the world has ever known.
I agree with that too. And
that's the great awakening.
Yeah. And I've really been touched by the Q movement as well. And not that I wasn't, spiritual, but I'm more spiritual now because I know that I need that armor of God that Q's posted, I think 4 or 5 times now. And there's been interesting things with the armor of God that have struck me as well. We've got somebody out there in YouTube right now, USMC Sniper and Secret Squirrel. They sent us 3 coins with the armor of God on it.
And I saw you posted that one coin. That is very cool.
Oh my gosh.
I'm kind of jealous.
Well, this is the kind of stuff, do you remember the decode did you see the decode about the armor of God, that the story that we had? Maybe we'll take it offline, but it's very special to me, and it's because
I haven't seen it. No.
Yeah. I'll send it to you in DM. I think I showed it to you, but you know how it is. It's so busy. but yeah, so that's the great awakening. Would you do a prayer for us? Cause I've been, reading the Q post prayers and, kind of saying a prayer of protection. I say pray the armor of God more than once a day. Would you honor us with a prayer?
I will. Lord, I thank you that you are waking up the world through a handful of patriots, average people who have no fame and no desire other than to help the world see the truth of evil and corruption and how you are destroying evil and corruption, how you are bringing light where there once was darkness. Lord, I ask you to open the eyes of those who are in unbelief, those who are deceived. I ask you to speak the truth to them personally in a way that they can understand. Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy and compassion. I ask you to help Americans and citizens around the world understand and accept the way that you are exposing corruption. Lord, I ask you to open their hearts, open their minds, help them join in the fight against darkness as darkness becomes light. Lord, I ask you to reveal yourself to them personally. Show them how much you love them. Show them the great plans that you have. Reveal their destiny to them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Thank you. So we got a really amazing YouTube group out there. They're thanking you as well. Lots of amens.
Yep. I'm looking at the chat. I can see all the positive comments.
Yeah. And this is the finally the full armor of God completed today, belt of truth. So remember the Kibbe thing? That she was 2013, Trump pointed us to that Kibbe tweet where she's the only one that died in the plane crash who confirmed Obama's birth certificate. And we thought that was on a Sunday, so we thought we were like witnessing a murder and we were all sad. And I said to everybody, put on the armor of God. And on May 20th, that Sunday, that happened. Word for word, Q posted that, and the love is patient. And then Monday, the NASCAR driver got a helmet. And on Wednesday, when he was honoring the boxer, a WBC belt was given to him. Then we're like, oh my gosh, did he get a sword? In Saudi Arabia, he got a sword.
My gosh, I have to go look into that. Yeah.
This is crazy.
That's crazy.
Did he get
shoes?
There are
so many levels.
It all happened.
That's true. That week, too. Like, I know I miss probably like 70% of what Q puts out there. I'm like, never saw that, never considered that. That is why it's so important for so many people to be doing Q research.
We're the shields.
Yeah. I mean, just things like that. Like Q puts the armor of God. And if you read the armor of God, it's, you know, the belt, it's the helmet, it's the breastplate, it's the sword, right?
Yeah.
And then each day there's another part of that coming out. I would just tell people, and I've been encouraging my friends to do this, and no one's taken me up on it yet. There are not enough good Q decoders out there on social media presenting this information to the world. We only have a handful of people on Twitter who are doing this every day.
And we're the ones being most heavily attacked because
we're like in the crosshairs.
Right.
But I would tell people, if you're interested in making a difference, I would seriously recommend if you've been following Q,
to get started.
Take screenshots, do your research, do your digs, do Twitter threads, do videos on YouTube, get on Facebook and do that stuff. You know, if you're an honest broker. Now there are some people that are doing this who are not very honest brokers. They have an agenda. But if you have a good heart and you want to make a difference, there is not enough people on social media who are getting this word out. There's only a handful of us. And everybody has a different perspective. Everybody has a different thing that they see. Matrix.
That's what's wonderful about this.
Matrix, you find stuff that I totally like am blind to. I just don't see the stuff that you see, right? Thank you. I'm focused in on like when Q is dropping on Faiza, I'm like,
right.
Stuff. I'm going to go dig into it, right?
That's your thing, right?
But all the Anons, you know, the plain fags, and the law fags and all the different Anons who have specialties, it requires people with different areas of specialization, different talents, different interests to bring out all the information that Q's posting. Like I only have a little tiny bit of it, which is why it's so important for us to come together as a group, pull our heads together, get our information. What Lisa May, I like her threads because she always finds stuff that I don't see.
Yes.
And so I would tell people, look, if you're interested in doing this, get on social media and start presenting this information. Do your research. Share with people what you're finding and acknowledge other good researchers and give shout outs to people who are also doing good research.
And this is why we got the Q Army social network and the Q Army news network. So on the Q Army news network, we've got Twitter feeds of everybody. And this isn't like, this is a living list, you know, Praying Medic is on there. Anon Decoder, Lisa May, Corticon, Bless the Teach, iPot, Jordan Sather, Joe M, Space Shuttle, you name it. And it's Paul Saran, who's amazing too, by the way.
I love Paul's threads.
Yeah.
For anybody who does not follow so Paul Saran, there's people like Matrix and Lisa May and me. We, whenever Q is posting, we post all of Q's drops. And they, Lisa May and Matrix tend to do it sequentially, so you'll get all of Q's posts in chronological order. I post them, but I tend to group them, so I don't post them chronologically. I tend to group, you know, if Q is posting about FISA, I group all the FISA stuff. Mm-hmm. If Q is posting about Five Eyes, I'll take the Five Eyes stuff and segregate that and post that all together. But Paul Saran really only does topical threads on Q. He does deep dives into different subjects. He has great threads on Five Eyes, on John McCain, on Pesures, on a lot of different things. He just does topical threads. And his research is really good. His graphics are amazing. I love Paul's stuff.
Yeah, I do too. He did the West Palm Beach and Epstein thread too. That was actually stellar. I mean,
yeah,
the guy's a great researcher and putting it together. And Brazilian friend, he's also got a show too, I think, on Saturdays on a Soapbox or something. Yep. I'm gonna try to get with him soon. He's amazing. Again, it's funny how I'm fans of all you guys, you know,
and here we are. I'm a fan of yours, man.
Oh my gosh. Thank you. Thank you for that. Wow. So do you have like, what's like right now, obviously I think we've talked about, you know, the FISA that's burning in Praying Medic's mind is what right now is something that you'd like, you know, if you were to say, hey, you know, what should I focus on right now? You know, people that are with us right now in this journey, what just focusing on, doing more, you know, getting more word out there, red pilling more people, waking people up. What would you tell somebody right now? Say, hey, you know, doing all I can. I've got a, you know, Twitter account. What would your advice be?
I would advise people to post on the subjects that are interesting to you. Yes. You know, I think FISA is going to be a big deal coming up. I think we're going to get FISA declass pretty soon. We're going to need some people to be digging and researching on what's going to come out of the declass of Carter Page's FISA application and, you know, what's going on with Papadopoulos and what's going on at the Five Eyes and all that. Obviously, we're going to need all hands on deck to roll that out to the public to help them understand it. But look, one of the things, I had a dream a couple nights ago and I posted this on Twitter. I think he was going to come back around to cancer cures pretty soon.
Yeah, it seems to be a lot of rumbling on that lately as well. Yep,
I had a dream where I saw Q was posting about newly developed cures for cancer. And what I saw in the dream was if we steward that information correctly, it's going to lead to Q posting about cures for other diseases. That was a dream I had like 4 or 5 nights ago that I posted on Twitter. If you're interested in that sort of thing, in, you know, new cures for cancer and things of that nature, heads up, I think that's going to be coming down the road pretty soon. I think we're going to see Rod Rosenstein returning to the news. I had another dream about Rosenstein a couple nights ago where Rosenstein was doing a bunch of different things. There were news stories coming out about Rosenstein and Trump supporters were getting all angry about it. But what I saw in the dream was it seemed like they didn't have all the information. They were kind of going off half-cocked. So I think that's something to just be aware of. But, you know, as far as if you want to get the word out, I would suggest, like, Paul Saran does really good topical threads. He just likes doing digs on topics and doing threads on what he finds interesting. Mm-hmm. I think we probably need more people to do some topical threads. I've done some in the past, but you know, find subjects that you like. Q has posted about, I don't know, probably 200 major subjects over the time. Just go on one of the websites and look. In the Matrix, your new website looks like it's going to have a really good search engine. Some search engines are better than others for finding Q posts that are relevant. Go in the search engine, put in a topic, find all of Q posts, and do a thread explaining what these posts reveal.
Yeah, thank you for that. And you know, just so you know, so you saw the new Q post, check the searches out. Our webmaster Q is really data. You know, he wants to make sure the data comes. So if you do a search for cures, there's four results returned and they're highlighted nicely. Medic too, if you want to know something cool too, if you go like post 11, post, you know, 2113 with a comma, then 2143 with a comma, and let's say 3000 with a comma, and then 2222 and search, they come up in order.
Really? So the post numbers are searchable too. That's helpful.
Yes.
I know that you're big on post numbers. See, that's not something that I have ever really gotten into all that much, but you do really good digs on the post numbers and tying them together.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you for that. And, you know, we also, you know, we do have a lot of people that, you know, say, hey, Matrix, Paysoor, did you guys hear about Paysoor yet? And that's how it all starts, man. It's
yeah.
That was actually the most amazing dig that I've ever done. And then have you seen the Trust the Plan presentation where Trust the Plan and Q's gavel on Patriots Fight?
I saw you were talking about that on the show the other night. Yeah.
Yeah. So Q's gavel leads to, if you just Google trust, T-R-U-S-T and anti-trust, you'll get an article from, because I'm like, Trust the Plan. Why is he always saying trust? Why is Q always saying trust? And I'm like, well, it's got to be something. And then I saw that Facebook, you know, do you trust Facebook? Do you trust Twitter? And it's like, no, I don't. So here's Q's gavel right here. And it's an article from May 2009. And it's called Restoring Trust in Antitrust Enforcement. And it's a progressive vision of for antitrust division of the Department of Justice. So it talks in here about how the DOJ, it has to be clean because it's DOJ. It talks about Senate. It talks about the Supreme Court, if they're going to enforce antitrust, which is probably one of the biggest scams that the Fed is running, if you really dig into it.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
The money laundering, the antitrust, the kickbacks, the bribery, the wormhole is deep, man. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, it was started like this. That's what is so interesting, is the whole structure was set up strategically in the early 1900s to capture all business and all corporations as it got to a certain level. Yep. And they were able to undermine everything. So really, if you pull out of all of the business and you look at it, you can see how it is designed to undermine and overtake, as a, you know, which is not exactly what Americans had in mind in the middle 1800s as they, you know, were stewards of their land, right? So if you kind of look at our society and the way we evolved, and we were talking about the whole health thing and da-da-da and what's going on out there, but look how we used to own land and we used to work the land and we were hundreds of thousands of farmers, and now all the people are in the cities and the land is owned largely by deep state entities, corporations, across our country, you know. And then we started digging into all this stuff and you'd look at words like getting railroaded and that kind of takes on a whole nother look when you see how this was all built off the railroads and used to systematically enslave us over a period of a century.
Yep. Put farmers into debt.
Yep.
And then have large corporations buy up all the farmland and
send your family to the city.
Oh my gosh, it's just absolutely evil and corrupt what they've done. But you know, here is kind of an interesting Q proof. Q was telling us about a month ago that, and said, would you rather have people arrested and have this happen again? Or should we put in place checks and balances to make sure it never happens again.
Yeah, I'll go with the latter.
Yeah, it never right. happens again.
So you
yeah.
asked that question. It was probably 4 or 5 weeks ago, I think. And Q brought up for the first time the fact that if we simply arrest people, throw them in jail, put them on military tribunals, whatever, and don't make changes to the system, it is only going to happen again. Does anyone want this to happen again? No. Now, the Mueller report came out a couple weeks ago. What has Trump been saying ever since the Mueller report came out? We cannot allow this to ever happen again to any president.
Exactly.
Wow. Yes.
And he has been hammering that point
over and over
he's in front of a camera.
Yep.
This can never be allowed to happen again. If you go on, listen to the Hannity interview with Trump. He must have said that 4 times in that interview, right? Q told us about a month ago, we can never allow this to happen again. Trump has been reiterating that very point ever since the Mueller report came out. So I guarantee you they're putting in place safeguards and checks and balances that are going to reform our government, reform the intelligence agencies, reform all of that so this never happens again.
Well, a lot of, you know, a big part of that that I talk about often is the accountability aspect of this. And with the modern world, we're not sending a guy on a wagon to Washington once a month any longer. There's communication now. The idea that a constituency is not represented by their overall concerns and by the representative, there's this disconnect, right? There's the disconnect between the people who have a representative and the people's understanding of what it is that representative is actually voting on. Why is that not just easy information right there on Twitter? We have to establish this layer of data on our elected officials so that we can hold them accountable. You know, same with Q and all this other stuff. We wouldn't understand everything unless we had the information. People don't have any information. So I think that's a lot of this, you know, a lot of this little bit of a gateway here that we're all in. You and Matrix and Joe M and all the other great people out there, Lisa May, and even Lionel's doing a good job and keeping Jordan Saylor, keeping this boat non-tipping over and right on that edge. It has to be the end game is accountability.
Yep, absolutely. Accountability is the bottom line. I think the military leaders that are working with the president are, look, we all kind of knew, if you were listening, that there was very nearly a military coup against Obama because he had allowed corrupt people to co-opt the government, you know. And before Q even got on the board, Steve Pachenik was on YouTube. You know, hey there, Mr. and Mrs. America. I just want to let you know that white hats, good people in the government, are fed up with this nonsense, and we are taking over, and we are having a coup, but it is not a military coup. We don't have guns. We're no threat to anyone. But I want to let you know, we are not going to let Hillary be installed. Even if Hillary was elected, they were going to out her corruption so that she wouldn't have been inaugurated. And that was kind of my first clue that something was going on. And I think that, people don't understand to what degree patriots are actually in control of this.
Well, I can give you a little bit of an insight because I go back to the early 90s whenever I was red-pilled. And immediately upon that, being contacted with this structure around the country of the different state militias, this was before the internet and the communications that were out there. Like, we were passing around the Clinton Chronicles in 1994 through the mail and doing mailers and sending out, you know, Operation Vampire Killer, talking about the questionnaire that went out to all of the American bases asking forces if they would or would not turn on American citizens under a martial law event. So this layer of white hats, if you want to call them, have been around since before, you know, what we've learned with our stuff. This could go all the way back to John Quincy Adams, like the Q idea or the structure, the substructure that was put in place because they knew that the central bankers were going to usurp the system. There was just no question about it. They would shoot anybody. They would take anything down. They were going to do it, but there had to be this substructure there for some future perceived time when a level of communication would arrive where information could be used to expose them, because that's really all we need is exposure. We don't have to do anything. We just have to show people that they've convinced you they do not exist.
Right. And in addition to having the ability to expose the corruption and the darkness, the other thing that the White Hats were waiting for was an outsider to come into the White House who could work with the military and the White Hats in the intelligence community to actually put in force changes to prosecute the deep state, expose their crimes, and to make fundamental changes to the system so it never happened again. And like I said, I have heard from a number of people that there was very close to being a military coup against Obama, but they decided not to do that, to wait. And then Trump announced that he was running for re-election or going to run for election. And Q has indicated that they contacted Trump and the Freedom Caucus in 2015 and put together the operation with the help of Jim Jordan, Mark Meadows, and the Freedom Caucus. They decided that they knew they needed people in Congress who could help expose it, who could help make reforms in Congress. They needed someone in the White House who could run the executive branch and straighten out the corruption from that point. And I think the military leaders realized if they recruited some good people in Congress and got a president they could work with, they could take down all the corrupt people, they could destroy the deep state, and they could make fundamental changes to the way things are done so that it would never happen again. And that's kind of the long history of how this whole thing evolves, as far as I can see.
Absolutely, man. So yeah, this has been an amazing, I know we've got you over an hour. It's 2:20. I don't know if you have another thing. If you want,
I don't. I'm just working on the book.
So let's talk about that. Yes, let's talk about your book.
Yeah. Well, you know, as we were saying, talking about, you know, in the chat before we started the show, a lot of people don't know this about me because they just know about me from my Q videos. But I used to be an atheist. And I became a Christian about 20 years ago, actually 19 years ago. And I've worked as a paramedic for 35 years. In 2012, my wife finally convinced me to write my first book, because I've always loved to write. Ever since I was a kid, I've loved to write. And my mom actually encouraged me to do a lot of writing. And I had a few literature classes when I was in college, but I never really seriously thought about being an author my entire life. I just thought, who would want to do that? I was content working as a paramedic and thought I was going to work as a medic until I was 65 years old, maybe have a pension, take my, you know, Social Security and call it good. Well, I had been on Facebook writing a lot of Facebook notes and articles on healing, on deliverance, on different things of that nature. And a whole bunch of my friends started saying, you know, you really need to write a book about this. And I was like, I don't want to write a book. Who wants to write a book, be an author? It just seems like a lot of hassle. But Denise, my wife, actually used to work for a publisher. She worked for Rodale Press years ago. And she knew about graphic. She'd been a graphic designer, professional graphic designer for about 20 years. She said, look, why don't you write the book, and I will do the interior design and I'll do the cover design, and we'll just self-publish the book and see if it sells. Well, it took her a year to convince me to write my first book. So I finally wrote the manuscript. We got it edited. I hired an editor, and she did the cover design for it. and I published it, and it was actually fairly successful. We sold a fair number of copies the first year, and I thought, wow, this is interesting. I could actually maybe write another book because I have ideas. I wanted to write a book on hearing God's voice. So we began a publishing company. We have a business. It's an LLC. And we started that in 2012. And it was really just focused on publishing books to help people understand how to hear God's voice, how to release the power of God for healing, just supernatural subjects. And we have been publishing books, three or four books a year, 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2016. We published three books a year. So I have 12 books published right now. And that was our business model. We were growing, and the platform was growing, and the books were selling. And I thought, this is actually kind of cool. I really enjoy writing. I've always loved writing. When Q takes a break and is not posting for a couple of weeks, pretty much what I'm doing is I'm writing. I'm working on several novels, working on some other books. So what a lot of people don't understand is I've been an author professionally since 2013. I quit my job as a paramedic in 2015, and I've just been writing full-time since then. That's what I do. I'm an author, right? So Q comes along, and a bunch of people start finding out about me, and they don't realize it, that they think I'm a YouTuber. I really don't like doing videos. It's not my thing. I love writing. That is my comfort zone. If I could do nothing else, I'd sit around, drink coffee, and write books and write articles. And I just love to write. It is my comfort zone. So Q comes along in October of 2017. And I get involved in December of 2017. And I start researching Q and digging and doing Twitter threads and doing YouTube videos and all this other stuff. And we have not published a book since before Q started posting. A year and a half, we haven't published a book.
Oh, wow.
So what happened was my income started to drop off.
Yes.
So our income, because if you're an author and you're public, you have to keep publishing books. That's the key to making a living as an author.
But wait, I thought you were
on publishing books. If you don't keep publishing books, your income is eventually going to drop off and you won't be making any money at all. As an author, if you want to be a full-time author, you just have to keep writing books and keep publishing, right? So our business model from the start was to publish three or four books a year, and we haven't published in the last year and a half, which means my living decreased significantly. What happened at the same time was people who were watching my Q videos wanted to support me financially. Now, I didn't have a Patreon account prior to then. And I wrestled with this because I've never wanted to have a PayPal link on my website. You can go back and look at my blog from 2009, my first website that I had. I never had a donation link on there. I didn't want to take donations. My wife and I argued about this for 2 or 3 years. She finally convinced me to put a PayPal link on my website because people were harassing me. They wanted to support me financially. And I have always wanted to support myself and be independent. So we've had these arguments back and forth, my wife and I have had. And she said, look, people want to support you. Give them an opportunity to support you. So I was like, okay, whatever. I'm not going to argue with you anymore. Put the PayPal link on my website, and we created a Patreon account. Now, here is, and I'm going to talk about the Q book in just a second, but you guys have time. You don't have to go anywhere.
Yeah, go ahead.
I got time. So I very reluctantly created a Patreon account because people kept saying they wanted to support me financially. And to be honest, at that time, I kind of needed it because we weren't selling very many books. After a book has been out on the market for about 6 months, 9 months, book sales just drop off. A book only has a certain shelf life as far as sales, and then it starts to just drop off. And a book that's been out for 4 or 5 years doesn't have a whole lot of sales. So at the same time our book sales were dropping off, people started to support us financially. And I thought, okay, well, this is kind of cool. This would be that Denise and I kind of had an understanding of what God was doing. he was going to have people support us financially until we could start publishing books again. Well, I've been working on a novel, and it's hopefully going to be a trilogy. That novel, the manuscript is finished. I'm working with an editor, and we're going to be publishing that novel pretty soon. I'm also working on my first Q book. Now, I was thinking about only writing one Q book, but then I realized I got it writing into the manuscript, and I got 30 chapters in this book, and I'm only into December of 2017. Oh, I've wow. covered like 2 months of Q's posts, and I've got 30 chapters in the book, and I need to end the book, and I need to start another one. So I thought, there's no way I can write about Q in just one book. It's going to have to be a series. So what I'm going to do with the first book is I'm going to cover the majority of Q's like major topics in November and December of 2017 and kind of follow some of them through up until the current time. And then I'm going to write a second volume that will pick up in January, February, and March of 2018. Pick up on those major topics. That'll be volume two. Volume three will come in April, May, and June of 2018. And then volume four will be like July, August, and September of 2018. Because there's so many topics, so many subjects, so many different, you know, rabbit trails and things. I just decided that I'm going to write a series. And I'm going to chronicle Q's posts and the major themes as much as I can. Look, Q has said repeatedly, this is going to be in the history books, right? Or we are watching history being made.
Yeah.
Well, someone has to write those books. And I love to write. And I've studied Q pretty in depth. So I've just decided I'm going to write a series of books. And I'm hoping to have the draft manuscript finished by tomorrow for the first book. Then it's going to take, we have to have it edited. And then we have to get the print book and ebook files prepared. It'll probably take another month or two for that book to be out. But, you know, there's a lot of controversy out there about people making money off of books and all
that. Yeah, I was just going to ask you about that, the PAY Triet thing and all that.
Well, look, you know, unfortunately for people who don't understand this, I was an author before I was a Q decoder. my living, I make a living as an author. That's my income, right? And I want to say this. I need to finish up what I was saying about Patreon. Denise and I looked at the Patreon account as a temporary measure to help us meet our expenses while I was researching Q,
right,
until I could start publishing books again. I'm going to shut down my Patreon account. I have a lot of supporters on Patreon, and I'm very grateful for the support they've given me. But now that I'm close to publishing books again, and we can get our business back on track, I'm going to shut down my Patreon account.
Very cool. Yeah. And
because I don't need the financial support. Once I can start publishing books again, I won't need that financial support. And I think that people who are supporting me should support other people. I won't need that support anymore. It was always for me. It was always going to be a temporary thing. And you'll notice my PayPal link is gone on that website too.
Yeah. I didn't see it. Yep.
I took that down as well. I'm really going to be suggesting people support other content creators. When we can start publishing books again, I won't need people to support me financially.
Wow, that's
just
awesome.
You know, people just buy the books. That'll be our financial support. So I've taken down the PayPal links. I'm going to take down my Patreon account. And look, I am not against people being supported for the work that they're doing. I think what you guys are doing is fine. I don't have a problem with it. I was grateful for the people who supported me in the last year and a half while I was not able to publish books, but now we're going to be publishing again, and we will be able to pay our bills once we start publishing books again. So that's kind of my thing. And the whole thing with the, you know, all these accusations of patriots, PAY patriots, mm-hmm. It comes from people who have looked at one post by Q and taken it out of context, and they don't understand why Q even posted that in the first place.
Is it you actually told, because I went so long without, you know, doing anything. Like, I just did this in my free time, and right. It's taking a lot of time. And, you know, when I'm actually able to do it, like, I'm happy. I love doing what I'm doing. I love the research. I love doing that. And I just really in December just started, and boy, I tell you, you know, talk about, you know, everybody going crazy.
Yeah. Well, let's just do some history on that whole thing. So people take that Q post from, I think it was May of 2018, about a year ago, where Q said, be careful who you are following. Some are in this movement only to make money. Some are profiting off this movement.
To usurp.
Right? Okay. So people take that post, and if they want to attack someone, they take that post and they beat them over the head with it and call them a patriot, a mercenary. You're only in this to make money. You're ripping people off. No one should be making money off this movement. All right. So what they're doing is essentially what the same thing people do when they take a Bible verse out of context and beat other people over the head with it. If you're going to study the scriptures, you have to take a scripture verse and look at the context around that scripture verse and understand the entire meaning of that message and look at related messages and posts to that verse, right? So if you want to understand what Q is actually getting at with that post, you have to read all the posts on that subject over the next 2 weeks, because Q explained why he posted that a couple of weeks later. It was after Serial Brain wrote that article, The Long and Secret InfoWars Against Q, right? Q linked to that article. Q posted the link to Serial Brain's article, which exposed Alex Jones and Jerome Corsi and their little plan right. to discredit Q and take all of Q's followers and right. move over to InfoWars, right? Q reposted Serial Brain's article and said that the statements he made were generic in nature because he didn't want to specifically point out Corsi. Statement was made, no names mentioned. They responded, predictable. They exposed themselves. Right? And you got right there. I don't think it would be fair to say a journalist can't make money when covering Q, but that's the difference. A journalist covering Q isn't necessarily usurping Q. That post, that was actually a conversation about me, because one of the Anons accused me of being a mercenary because I had a Patreon link and I had PayPal, and Roseanne had been tweeting out my videos, my Q videos. And Anon said, hey, someone should tell Roseanne she's supporting a patriot, P-A-Y, patriot. And so this discussion ensued. And this Anon said, I don't think it would be fair to say that a journalist can't make money covering Q, but that's the difference. A journalist covering Q isn't usurping Q. The patriots in question were trying to usurp Q. This video explains what happened. And Q reposted that Anon's
yes.
Message, confirming that Q was not putting a prohibition on people receiving donations. The whole point of that post was to get Corsi to attack Q, expose himself, and so that he could be removed. Q later said that before the movement expanded and grew, they needed to deal with a specific issue, and that was that these guys, Corsi, was trying to usurp the movement and steer them over to InfoWars, and Q needed to deal with that before they went on. That was the entire purpose of that whole post. And Q here, in this, by reposting this Anon's comment, basically confirmed he did not put a prohibition on people who are covering Q from receiving financial support. That wasn't his intention. Although, right, if you only take that first post and just look at that and don't understand the larger context, you totally will misunderstand what Q was getting at. So I think it's important for people to understand that, look, you can't just look at one Q post and think you understand what Q is saying. You have to look at a lot of different posts and put them all together.
Isn't it amazing that they're usurping Q Post and calling you a PAY triad? You know, it's, yes, we've watched the wrap ups. Q has told us about how the Democrat playbook works, and we're being a victim of it. And people think it's patriots attacking patriots, but it's really somebody else, right? And I was wondering, like, who was attacking me, right? And just wondering why, where it's coming from. And, you know, just recently, obviously, we know of the other coalition, right? That's one. But Q posted 200 Twitter accounts that are on the top 200. And I was on there.
You were on the list.
Yeah, I'm on the list. so it kind of confirmed to me, because it's almost like the Q team listens. I'm like, you know, we're in Patriots United Discord server, and I'm going, who is it? Who's driving the snowplow, right? We got the snowplow. It's moving forward. It's got the snow. Maybe some things are jumping on, and then people jump off, whatever. But it's who's actually driving the snowplow? And I think we got our answer, the Hillary Clinton and the deep state. And if somebody calls that people, those people on that list, Q says that they're patriots, you know, P-A-T-R.
Well,
but look at this. It's so clear, right?
Look at the people that Q regularly tweets their threads and their posts. Lisa May, Jordan Sather, Joe M, you, right? Who are the people that are under attack? The very people that Q keeps on pointing out, and some people are saying that Q is pointing to those people because we should all watch out for them. No, I think Q is actually pointing to certain people because he's wanting us to know these are people that you can trust. Q would not be tweeting out, reposting people's stuff if they were people that could not be trusted.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous.
You know, it was interesting too, is the first time I was queued, I was doing the Paysewer thread. And then the second time I was queued, I was doing the, I was queued once before. I don't know how many times yet, but he's queued me during the Paysewer thread and the Trust the Plan thread. So it's almost like, you know, is he kind of, and you know, Q Post 1970, right? That talks about the Paysewers. But isn't it interesting that they're saying that you're supposed to watch these people, but if you're a Q decoder and using your discernment, let's, you know, look at the Q posts where they're talking about, you know, I just did a search for In the Matrix and there's that 200 right there talking that they're, if you can't read this and find out that people want to take these people down to prevent loss of control, elimination of free speech, they're trying to take our free speech away. And yep. It's very amazing.
Yep, it is. It is. And, you know, it's I know that Q is observing what we're doing a lot more closely than people probably suspect. Q, if you're really paying attention to what's going on social media, especially on Twitter, and look at the subjects that people are talking about, and then look at the things that Q is posting, you'll see that Q is paying pretty close attention to us and what we're talking about. And Q is very, very aware of what is going on and the conversations that are happening between people pro and people at for and against Q. I find the interaction very interesting. And I know, I just see that Q is watching what we're doing.
Yeah, I feel that too. I almost, like I said, I feel like he's almost, they're there. We always say he, and guys, we think it's a team. I think it's a team. But yeah, I think they're listening as well.
Yep.
I really do.
It would be in their top interest to listen and
absolutely
and pay attention. Like if we're going to be the conduit and we're going to be the steward of the information and we're going to keep to the story, like the story is supposed to, if I were on that side, I would be paying extra close attention too. And like you were just referring, you know, people saying that Q showing you an account on Twitter is pointing a laser beam at you and telling people to dig. That is absurd. I mean, that is so over the top. that it can't be anything else other than the opposition.
You know what? Shady, look, when Q has said we are his voice,
right?
Q posts on 8chan and the Anons do the digging, and some of the Anons have come over on Twitter. Thank you, Anons, for coming out on Twitter. But we are the communicators of Q's message to the world. We're on social media, YouTube, Twitter, Reddit, not so much Reddit anymore, but we're on social media, Facebook.
And vote now, and apparently, right? We are
the
people who
are communicating the message. Now, look at how Q addressed bad messengers in the past. Corsi was giving false decodes, knowingly giving false decodes. If there is somebody in the movement who is getting a lot of traction and a lot of people are following that person, and that person is cannot be trusted, Q is going to put a laser pointer on that person, which is what happened a year ago when Q said, be careful who you are following. Some are in this only to make money. What was the issue? Corsi. Q needed us to understand we were all following somebody that shouldn't be trusted.
Right.
Who was going to collapse the Q movement and move everybody over to InfoWars.
Yep. Right?
So Q dealt with that individual.
And then said it was over.
Clearly, we all understood, okay, Corsi's a bad guy. We need to not follow Corsi anymore. Let's follow other people. Let's do our own research, right? We got the message, right? Q has never again since then brought up any Q decoders or any problem children in the movement who needed to be addressed or to be to be wary of. Q has never again brought this up. All right. If there was a problem, let me just say this. Corsi was a major problem because he was on YouTube. Most of the people who were following Q were kind of following Corsi. All right. Now you have a whole bunch of other people. You got Jordan Sather. You've got, you know, In Pursuit of Truth, you guys, Lisa, me, all these other people. We are some of the major decoders and promoters and disseminators of Q's information. Do you not think that if Q had a problem with us, Q would not be addressing that problem the way he addressed Corsi? If there was a problem with the main people in the movement who are explaining what Q is doing, I have a suspicion Q would probably bring it up. And yeah. Q has not brought this problem up.
He absolutely would.
We dealt with Corsi, if there was another problem, Q would put a laser pointer on it and would let people know, you know, we have some problems that we need to deal with.
Kind of like what he's doing with the MAGA coalition right now.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And so, I want to be clear about the MAGA coalition. Q did not criticize Sebastian Gorka. Number one, a lot of
correct.
People saying, I don't understand why Q criticized Gorka. Q really did not criticize Gorka. Q hadn't said anything negative about Gorka.
Nope.
Q was pointing to an organization that hired Gorka for 3 months a couple of years ago.
Right.
Right. And Q said, we brought them up as an example of an organization that wastes their donors' money rather than supporting MAGA candidates that spend the money on inflated fees and expenses and stuff. And Q is letting people know, look, this is just an example of many organizations that are doing this. Be careful of those organizations. When you're donating your money to a political action committee, make sure they're not giving your money on inflated fees.
Or trips and vacations. Not
spending that money on worthy causes.
Right.
So, you know, that's my take on that.
No, it's a perfect point. That is precisely kind of what I wanted to lead into. There was that if there were anything, whatever is going on, we're in this real-time communication reality. It's hard for it's really, I mean, we have to admit it's really tough for people that have not dug into this or seen the real intricacies of all of it to grasp, conceive. You know, you have to throw everything you've ever been told out, start again. That's not easy for anyone. So we do understand and recognize the difficulty of this, but whenever you pivot on that and take a non-understanding and use that as a mechanism or a tool or a weapon against something, there's always, you know, that is a clear line of sight of something non-objective and some sort of an agenda.
Yep. An agenda.
Yeah.
Yep.
And, you know, and since that time, since all this PAY stuff, whatever, I had this, I've been Q'd like several times. I'm trying to actually real quick. I had it right here. So I was actually a Q proof, a zero delta. Do you remember when, you know, it was, it's on the screen right now, 2684, that meme right there in there, it says in the Matrix, right? That's the meme
yep.
from the,
yep.
And it says, well, it happened again. How many times have you guys seen Q post that delta or that meme? You know, so
often.
That's
I like my graphic better than yours, but you know,
I do too.
Better than mine. So, hey,
this
good
was
on you, mate.
This was very crude, man.
Settle down, boys.
This is an iPhone just trying to make the connections, man. You know, this is because I'm an Anon too. This goes on. You know, you're trying to get the information and decode as quick as possible. You know.
Yep. Thanks. You know, I take comfort in knowing that Q reposts a ton of my graphics, but a lot of people don't know that they're my graphics. Most of the graphics that Q has reposted about the FBI, the DOJ clean out, Priestap, Strzok, Page, Comey fired, all these people fired, removed from power.
Yeah.
What I've been doing ever since Q started dropping those things is creating new graphics with clearer text in them and reposting them on Twitter. And what I noticed is whenever Q wants to update the list, he takes one of my old graphics and adds to it the new people and then reposts that. And then I take that graphic and make a new graphic, and Q keeps on recycling my graphics.
Which one is that? Which one is that?
There's a lot of them, but anytime
fired,
you see...
Where it says fired over everybody?
Everyone's been... All the people that have been fired... Those are almost all of those are my graphics.
That is amazing. You're awesome. I love your graphics too. Just even on your threads, very, very clean. I'm just trying to find like, here's one here. I'm just trying to find one real quick. Just a quick Google search. Here it is. This one here where it says, John Galcione, Trisha Anderson, and then fired.
Yeah. John Glacalone, yep. Whatever his name is, fired. Yeah. This guy fired, that person fired. Yeah.
Well, we learned something new today.
Hey, I steal most of my memes from the board, just to let you know.
Well, and they're free. You know, I've made memes. I've used memes. It's just about getting the word out. You can take anything of mine. You know, it's for you. It's for us. It's for we the people.
Look, we're a team. And
yeah, we are a team.
One of the reasons why I see a lot of good memes on the board, and I hijack them and put them out there, and I take a lot of the comments from the Anons and put them out there because I want to give credit to the Anons. Credit where credit is due. The Anons do some great work.
I came up with the term brilliant Anons. And my intro video, it says, you know, the brilliant Anons. Because they do need the credit. And, you know, not everybody can get to that board, though, and actually take it.
No, that's it.
Can't say your grandmother over there.
And look, because of the nudity that's on the board, there's a whole lot of people who don't want to go to the board.
Well, it's not even just the nudity. I mean,
I totally get that. Oh, I know. So I am happy to go to the board and, you know, dig on what the Anons are posting and find some good memes and put together some ideas and what I think are... Whenever I find Anons who are on the right track, who I think are doing good research and connecting the dots, I love reposting their stuff on Twitter because it gives people on Twitter and YouTube and Facebook some idea of what's happening on the board for people who can't or don't want to go on the board.
And just the perception of a mystique or an ununderstanding grabs the attention so fast and gets people motivated, and then you're looking, and then the next thing you know, it's an hour and a half later, and you're like looking up at your significant other and you're like, whoa. Where was I just at? And then you kind of start the journey.
Yeah, and you know what? I've any parting thoughts? I want to actually just play a quick song. If you want to just watch the song with us and come back for parting thoughts,
sure.
Would you do that? All right, so awesome. Sure. We'll be right back with Praying Medic. We were talking about the Great Awakening, and we're gonna go ahead and play Abby Cook, "We've Awakened." Here we go.
struggle, we put up a fight. It's definitely not over, but it'll be alright. Unite. The new world order can pass away, 'cause we've seen the light for better days. If you don't believe me, then that's okay. I believe in you in new ways. Pull back the blinds, read between the lines. If you search deep, you will find the truth. They will come and try to divide us, disinformation to start and scrutinize us. Start participation. Take your hand off snooze. We've awakened. We've awakened. We've awakened. We're pulling off the covers. We've opened our eyes. We see each other and we realize that we're not alone. Darkness overrun what we've accomplished, what we've begun. Don't turn and run. Pull back the blinds, read between the lines. If you search deep, you will find the truth. Try to divide us, disinformation to start and scrutinize us, but they got nothing on us, 'cause we've awakened, we've awakened, we've awakened. Step back and ask who controls the information. Think for yourself and let's start participation. Take your hand off snooze, we've awakened, we've awakened.
Yes, that is Abby Cook. We've awakened, and we've had the honor of having Praying Medic here on the Matrix Groove Hour, actually hours now. It's been such an amazing interview, Praying Medic. Thank you so much for coming. And I've actually got to go get my, the reason why I'm here, my little girl, I've got to actually pick her up from school here soon. So can we do this again?
Heck yes, we can do this again. And I got to go get goody. My not so little boy tomorrow. He's coming to visit me this weekend. He's 25, 26 years old.
Oh, not so little boy. Yep. They're getting older. I tell you, they're not supposed to grow up.
Yeah, we definitely got to do this again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So thank you very much. And we're going to be heading out of here real quick, but I always kind of, you know, end it with some final thoughts. Shady, do you have any final thoughts before we head out?
Well, I would just really like to say what an honor and a pleasure to have you join us today, Praying Medic. This is, you know, this is something that I think it's really hard to see how important it is. But man, you're really someone who saw the importance of this early and took the reins and really led the charge, and still there and still just going strong. And we appreciate you coming here, and we appreciate your voice and your mission on this in this realm or wherever we are here, man. It really is a great awakening, and people coming to this conversation and being healed through understanding. I think that is what we're all here trying to do.
Yeah, man, I agree 100%. I was, I don't know what to say after that.
Well, I just appreciate
good,
it.
Good, right?
Thank you so much.
You know, I would say this. Q continually tells us, you are watching a movie. Enjoy the show. Patriots are in control, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Ignore the haters. Ignore right. the shills. Ignore the trolls. Eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the ball. We got so many good things coming out. Try to sleep when you have chance.
It's hard to these days. It's so exciting.
Because I think in the coming days, I think the pace is going to pick up. When Q comes back, it's going to be pretty fast and furious. Get lots of rest. I would say, you know,
eat right.
Realize that Patriots really, really, truly are in control. Trump and his guys in the military, and now more good people in the DOJ and FBI, as the corrupt people are being kicked out. We're getting more and more people, good people, who are coming into the picture who are going to help this thing be unrolled. We are going to see prosecution of corruption. We are going to see changes to the system. CIA is being dismantled. Ops are going to be transferred to no such agency. A lot of changes coming. Get ready for the changes. Realize you're watching a movie. They scripted this. They've been planning this for years. And we're just watching it all roll out. Don't get stressed. Good things are happening. Enjoy the show.
That's right. And thank you very much, Shady. Thank you very much, Praying Medic. This is In the Matrix with 3X's .com. So get over there to the website at In the Matrix on Twitter, at Shady Groove with 3 O's .com, Praying Medic at Praying Medic on Twitter .com. Catch him on YouTube, catch him on Amazon, check into his books, check into his videos. If you know somebody that's new to Q, Praying Medic's new to Q video is top notch. So check that out. And with that, Trinity's got the phone. We're going to head out of this matrix. Sometimes it's a little painful, guys. So hold on. Here we go. InTheMatrix.com now with Q posts. InTheMatrix3X.com/Q posts. Check it out, guys. They want us divided. We're united. Peace out, everybody. Thank you, Pragmatic. Do it again. Shady Groove. Much love.